Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's Jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Justin and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
Prepare yourself for the only talk radio show you'll want to turn up.
Crank this thing.
Sirius XM Pandora presents the place where your hard rock and metal voice can still be heard.
You bet your ass, baby.
Unfiltered, uncensored, say whatever you want.
Hit the record button. Anything can happen, you know?
I know that ain't nobody out there came to be mellow tonight, now did you? I say there ain't nobody. I say there ain't nobody not out there that even wants to be a little bit mellow. Now is there? Anybody wants to get mellow, you can turn around and get the fuck out of here, all right?
This is the Trunk Nation Podcast with host A. Trunk.
Hey, folks, it's Eddie Trunk, and welcome to another edition of the Eddie Trunk Podcast. New episodes every Thursday, anywhere you get your podcast. Thank you for checking it out and being here. Hope everybody is doing well. And I am excited to be getting ready to host M3 coming up this weekend in Columbia, Maryland. I'll see you there if you are attending. Been great to be back out on the road and connecting and meeting so many great rock fans and being a part of so many great shows. I've got M3 this weekend. Then I've got Parker, Colorado, outside of Denver, July 7th, hosting an acoustic show with Kip Winger. And that'll be happening at Deep Space Parker. July 11th, you can catch me at Rolling Hills Casino, Corning, California, hosting Skid Row, Warrant, Winger, and Autograph. July 31st, hosting Warrant and Eric Martin, Sweetwater Pavilion, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Many more events, all on the homepage of EddieTrunk.com. Come on out and see me if I'm headed your way. Please be sure to follow me on social media, at Eddie Trunk, Twitter, Instagram, fan page on Facebook. EddieTrunk.com is the homepage where you'll find those appearances and much, much more with ticket links. As I mentioned to you guys every week, the interviews you hear on my podcast originated and happened live on my Sirius XM radio show, Trunk Nation, heard Monday through Friday, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, live on Channel 106, re-airs anytime you want on the Sirius XM app, and of course, every night, the re-air, 10 to midnight Eastern, on Channel 106. You only listen to the podcast, you're getting a tiny fraction of what I do on a daily basis on the radio show. This is just a sampling. If you're in the U.S. or Canada, hope you join me for the live show each and every day. We got two huge interviews for you this week. We start with a guy that I've never interviewed before, but had a great conversation with, and that is Chris Robinson of the Black Crowes, followed by the legendary Billy F. Gibbons of ZZ Top talking about his new solo album and more. Now, if you are a Sirius XM subscriber, both of these interviews have video as well, which you can see on the app. We're going to bring you, of course, the audio here this week on the podcast. Chris Robinson talking about the Black Crowes and their upcoming tour. Billy Gibbons talking about his upcoming solo record. What a double dip this week on the Eddie Trunk podcast. But we begin with Chris Robinson, lead singer of the Black Crowes. I've been doing this for a very long time. Amazingly, this is the first time I ever interviewed Chris Robinson. We had a good mutual friend, which you'll hear about, and we had a great conversation, and I've always been a Black Crowes fan, so I was really excited to have this opportunity to talk to Chris and get into a bunch of different things. Billy Gibbons coming up, but right now, enjoy Chris Robinson on the Eddie Trunk Podcast. It's a great pleasure to be joined by a guy that I've been a fan of his and his band for, well, since day one. And they are going to celebrate the 30th anniversary, maybe a year or two late, thanks to COVID, of their debut album, Shake Your Moneymaker. Joining us right now, lead singer of the Black Crowes, Chris Robinson. Chris, thanks for the time, man. Good to have you on. How's things going, okay?
Things are going fantastic. We're super excited to finally get out and play a little music, hopefully see some music this summer, and, you know, like anyone else, just get back a little bit back to normal and, you know, have respect for our fellow man and all that kind of stuff. We'll try to maybe put out some vibes. You know, I think so much of the last couple of years have been dictated by fear and ignorance that it's time to kind of take it back with some reality and stuff, you know.
You know, we were talking before we came on the air about family, and you were telling me about your kids, and I think you said 17 and 11 were the ages on your kids, and right. We were just talking about all that. I mean, the last year and a half for a lot of musicians who have been unable to tour, it's been a great thing for them to be able to be around and reconnect with family. Is that something you've been able to do? What's the last year that was derailed, the year or so, been like for you?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm lucky to have two amazing kids. I'm unlucky that they're with two different relationships, two different moms. So one lives in LA, one lives in Woodstock. So I got to see the LA one, my son, Ryder, but I didn't get to see my daughter for quite a long time, which was hard. But I mean, I think the rock and roll part of life is like, they're both used to dad being on tour, you know? So I think we have a really great relationship in terms of like, okay, dad doesn't go to work and come home every day. This is what he does. And, you know, now they're older, they have different access to be with dad. And you know what I'm saying? But I think the whole thing, like for millions, you know, I mean, the idea that millions of people's trajectory has been changed, that we've all had to deal, has made it easier, you know what I mean? As opposed to kind of wallowing in some sort of, it's horrible. But it's been tough. I mean, I love being at home. I've got to, you know, I'm always reading, but I got to read twice as much as I normally would. I've really upped my French cooking skills. you know, we listen to a lot of music, and I think a lot of people, you know, great days and bad days, you know what I mean? But really under the microscope of what that means, you know what I mean? Like really, some days I just don't think I could have got out of bed, man. You know what I'm saying? It just felt so overwhelming and so horrible. But life's that way anyway. You know what I mean?
True.
Like
I
think it's adolescent to think that we're not, you know, and the same thing about being in I love that rock and roll has been my career and my job for over three decades, but that doesn't take away from depression and you know, bad things happening or, you know, things out of your control or whatever, you know. So I think if anything, the musician and the artist, I think we're built to We're built to deal a little bit, you know what I mean? We're built to have a little flexibility in there.
Yeah, well, no doubt. Now, we're going to talk about this tour coming up because it is finally going to happen and the dates have been reannounced. But just in terms of the tour was supposed to happen already and we all know it was derailed. But in the time that you did have home, you listen to music, you read books, you work on your cooking. Did you write music? Did you think about, and is there talk of another Black Crowes record? Did you and your brother maybe get together on that
definitely.
Front?
I mean, it's funny because Rich and I, you know, for whatever we've been through, the one thing that we've always managed to, our one place where we're always like the most together and never we fought on stage, we fought backstage, we fought in an Italian restaurant in Berlin, we fought at this place, you know, it's like, but when we're writing, it's always been our like sweet spot, you know. And yeah, it's been amazing to get to where Rich and I are today, and we're in a great place as brothers and as partners in this band and as songwriting partners. So we've written about 20 new Black Crowes songs.
Wow.
Which has been really cool. And you know, we're really, and you know, this whole idea of the Shake Your Moneymaker thing has really brought a lot of focus back to like, wow, how much I fucking love rock and roll music. Oh my God. Sorry.
It's all right, man. No problem.
No thanks.
Chris has got a dog barking and people knocking. And
I know.
It was totally quiet before we went on the air. And then as soon as we went live, everything went crazy.
I know. My dog has been sleeping. My Jamaican street dog, she's been sleeping all day. And she's like, oh, but sorry about that.
That's all right. So 20 new songs.
Yeah. And like rock and roll songs, you know, I think this Shake Your Moneymaker is really inspired, you know, visiting that record and that being our presentation has really inspired Rich and I to like, you know, to quote the MC5, to kick out the jams a little bit and really refocus on, you know, all the things we love about the power of rock and roll and the rawness. You know, Shake Your Moneymaker was our most concentrated effort of rock, you know. We went off into so many different things after that. I mean, I think rock and roll is always the bloodline, you know, through all of it. But just like, you know, from the Stones, Faces to AC/DC, and, you know, it could even be X and the Circle Jerks and Black Flag, whatever we were in, you know what I mean? All that kind of stuff is focused. And we're kind of back there, you know, and so it's been super fun. We're not in a real hurry to get in the studio. You know, our focus is this tour and the touring and kind of celebrating, you know, the Black Crowes and what we've done and where we started.
You know, I'm curious because you talked about the relationship with your brother and that it's the strongest it's been in a long time, which is great to hear, because I think myself and others may have been worried that in the year or so that everyone was derailed, the downtime, you know, what do they say about idle minds? That we could have heard the Black Crowes imploded before you got off the mat. But it sounds like the time that time has maybe even strengthened things a bit between you.
I think, you know, and I think you're absolutely right. I mean, it's, you know, the sort of build up to where we were going has been so good. And, but I was kind of like, I mean, I don't think we would have had any issues on the road, but not being on the road has just given us time to, how are the kids? You know, our mom's 82 years old. Rich lives in Nashville where mom lives. It's been tough with her and COVID. Like, how's mom? You know, like, you know, it's funny, like family in general, you know, the kids are a big part of also of why it's been nice to reconnect and have this relationship. Cause you know, my daughter's like, by the way, what's the deal with Uncle Rich? You know, I'm like, you have to start, you know, very transparent, you know what I mean? Cause they know they're not going to take any shit. You know, they're like, what is it? So you really, you know, I'm 54 years old and Rich just turned 52. We have to really dig deep and look at it, you know what I mean? And I think we're in such a cool place where we both agree, we're agreeing on everything. We're in each other's lives on a daily basis. We're super proud and happy. This tour is, you know, turning out to be fantastic. And we have great team in place, you know what I mean? We have people around us who are, I think the main concern isn't like how much money can we get off of them and the work, you know, and it's more like, well, you know, if Chris and Rich are together, that's where the real power of this thing starts from. That's the soul of this band. And that's the energy it takes to do something. I think the Black Crowes have, in a world of amazing rock and roll bands of all sorts of styles, shapes, colors, sounds, textures, that we've been unique in our trip, you know, that we've been on. And I think that's the real focus, is to keep Rich and I in a place where we feel good, you know what I mean? Where we feel good about the dynamic, you know, where it's like, wow, anything, you know, let's be positive, you know? I think the last 10 years of our solo projects and I kind of think like, oh, I went off into the wilderness of deep psychedelic hippiedom and wandered around on an alien planet and, and Rich in his own way did it too. And if we hadn't, I don't think if we hadn't made that break, you know what I mean? Then it would be, hold on a second. What are you doing?
We hadn't made that.
It's the dog.
Go ahead, man. Yeah, I know.
If we hadn't have made that break, I don't think we would have been in the place to be where we are today, you know? So take a negative thing and turn it into a positive thing, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's great to hear. And when you reference, obviously, the history of the Black Crowes, I mean, having been on board with the band from day one, when the band came out, it was in the teeth of the whole MTV, you know, hard rock world. You were so different than that. Even to this day, the Black Crowes have been uniquely its own thing. I saw you perform at the Wiltern a few years ago. You did when you did the Black Crowes set, when you did As the Crow Flies. I was that show. And oh, cool. And I never saw the Wiltern more packed in my life. And I thought the set was fantastic. And you had Audley up there with you. And I think it was Marcus King playing guitar. And did that, I wondered, because you look like you're having so much fun up there. You were dancing around the whole night, singing great, playing all those great songs. Did that play any role, Chris, in reigniting your interest to reconnect with Rich and do this?
You know what? It completely did. I mean, and as great as all those people you just named, that whole band I thought was fantastic, and we had so much fun. But yeah, you know, it is funny because, you know, I'm like, oh wow, it had been a long time since I had been that front man, you know what I mean? And it, yeah, definitely starts the wheels turning of this is really good, but you know, the Black Crowes are another thing, and that's me and Rich. And you know how life goes, man. I mean, it's about so many things come into play, and so many people play it close, you know, because it's showbiz. But you know, depression is real. You know what I mean? Like, and I mean, I've had great moments and I've had really down moments, and you know, this overwhelming melancholia like exists. But in the last, you know, 5 years or whatever, my marriage, you know, my wife is, who's a deep, deep rock and roller and punk rock lady in the world, you know, has just helped a million things too. You know what I mean? To kind of like, you know, I don't want to have any negative feelings about the Black Crowes and my family. I don't want to have any regrets about what could be, you know what I'm saying? So it's cool to get to move into a different time of life, you know what I mean? And be like, wow, to really see it for what it is. And maybe to understand, like, you know, it doesn't go on forever. I mean, yeah, you could be the Rolling Stones, but that's the Rolling Stones, man. You know what I mean? They're like the ones, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like they're responsible for a lot of bad behavior and cool records, you know what I mean? So just to have a cool perspective and to see it. And it is, I do have to say the one thing about Rich and I as well, and it was difficult for people, especially in our early days. We believe the mythos of rock and roll. You know what I mean? We understand the magic of rock and roll. It affects us. When I was laughing. I have a, you know, Rolling Stones logo tattooed on my arm. And just for whatever reason, yesterday my wife and I were listening to Sticky Fingers. And I was like, wow, I forget, I love the Stones so much. I want to go get another Stones tattoo of the same one on the other arm. But and
did you? Did you?
No, not yet.
By the time the tour starts, you'll have one on each arm maybe?
But it's the same thing I was telling you. My 11-year-old loves Guns N' Roses. And, you know, I hadn't listened to like Appetite in a long time. And this was last summer and we were driving up to Mendocino County. And I was like, let's listen. We listened to the whole thing. And I was like, oh my God, this record is great. We had so much fun listening to it. Or I could listen to what, you know what I mean? Whatever it is, like, wow, I love it's more than ever. I want loud guitars and rock and roll. I wish rock and roll was full of, you know, 100 Axl Roses or Courtney Loves or whoever's been difficult or weird. You know what I mean? Like, it just everything is so.
Or Chris Robinson's, man. Throw yourself in there, too.
All right, I'll throw myself. You know, for one sure thing, rock and roll for us older, a little older people, rock and roll is about defiance, not compliance. And that could be in a number of things. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, I'm not past some of that original interest and original love of that, of what that is, you know?
Yeah, you know, there's a documentary coming out in a couple weeks on Kiss, and I saw an advanced cut of it. And Bob Ezrin, the legendary producer who did some of their records, was talking in it. And they were, you know, the band was kind of the old same old story, piling on their original lead guitarist, Ace Frehley. And they were saying, you know, he was on drugs, he was on alcohol, he was reckless. We weren't sure. And Ezrin cuts in now in an interview and he goes, you know what? Ace is the most was the most rock and roll guy in the band.
That's what brought that element.
Yeah.
Yeah, people, you know, you described all the reasons why when I was a kid, I bought his solo record and none of the other.
The other thing about the artists you mentioned and yourself included, too, and this is one of my biggest soapbox issues in the world, Chris, and that is the what I call epidemic of bands out there touring, playing not really live, you know, fakery tracks, lip syncing. It's maddening to me. It's insulting as a rock fan. It flies in the face of what rock and roll is about. And I've always given you guys so much credit and respect because you've never done that bullshit. You always come warts and all live when you hit the stage. And I think that's amazing.
I mean, rock and roll is not about perfection, you know, building right. a bridge or a dam, that's about perfection,
right.
You know what I mean? We're about vibes. And like you said, you know, and to me, rock and roll has to be like, you know, a little bit like this. And yeah, I'm not interested in, we've never were interested in exactly recreating something. And you know what, man, the muse is, she is a vengeful goddess, and you have to always remember your devotion to her, and she wants your devotion. And when you leave that, she becomes angry and she will take from you. You know, I honestly believe this. And, you know, it's the same, you know, like I said, like the first time I had a fake ID and I snuck into the most amazing, like, punk new wave indie club ever was in Atlanta called the 688 Club. And I got a ticket back in Georgia in the 80s. They gave you a carbon copy of your license. That was your license till you paid your ticket and got your license back. Well, you could put cheap perfume on the carbon and remove it and just put another date on it. And I went and I saw the Replacements on the Let It Be tour. And I walked in the club. I couldn't believe I got in. I walked straight to the front row. Like all of, Pete Buck and Mike Mills and Michael Stipe on the side of the stage. It's a tiny little place. It was like, but it was, you know, Shangri-La for us. And the Replacements came out and Bob Stinson was still in the band. And he had a dress on and they were like drunken and wild. And it was so beautiful. And I was like, you know what? That's, again, the feeling when those amps yes. come on, and you know what I mean? And it's like, I still get that way when I see bands, you know, when I see band that I love. And, or it could, but by the way, it could be any kind of music, but it has to be sincere. It has to be passionate. Yes. This tour, we don't have any in-ears and, you know, like there are monitors on the stage. I'm not the singer who's messing with his belt loop all the time, trying to get it. About air and energy and this vibration, and you know that's what we like, man. You know, that's I've been in a band with Jimmy Page. He fucking plays loud. That's what Led Zeppelin, you know what I mean? I've toured with AC/DC. They're fucking loud, you know what I mean? Especially when Malcolm, God bless him, was alive, you know what I mean? And bands like that, and that's the energy, you know.
Let's talk about the tour, and again, it kicks off July 20th and runs in the U.S. through September 25th, ending in Bethel, New York, and then you go over to Europe, the Black Crowes celebrating Shake Your Moneymaker, their debut album. The band, Chris, that you're going to have, besides, of course, you and your brother, did I hear correctly that Sven is coming back to the band and that he's yeah. returning?
Yeah, totally. We were so stoked to have our brother. I mean, Sven, we've all been in bands together, and you know, we all like moved out of our parents' houses together in 87. He was in another band, but yeah, we're super excited to have Sven back. Our band is chock full of amazing people. We have Isaiah Mitchell. I don't know if you know, I'm sure a lot of your audience knows the band Earthless. Great, great, maybe not metal, but kind of stoner rock, harder band. Incredible three-piece band, incredible guitarist. the great Joel Robineau from one of my favorite bands of all time from Oakland called the Once and Future Band is on keyboards. We have Sven back and we have Brian Griffin on drums. So we're really, really excited. And yeah, we're getting ready to, you know, start rehearsals here in a couple weeks. And, you know, the first two dates are in Nashville. It's going really good, man. You know, I think, it, you know, for us to be excited about, you know, again, we've been such an enigma sometimes to not just our audience, but to rock fans in general sometimes. Like, what are they? What are they doing? It looks like this one day, now it's like this or whatever. And I think, like I said, to focus on, like, you know, so the presentation is Shake Your Moneymaker from start to finish. And then we play after that, we'll play a bunch of subsequent hits. And I think the most popular songs, the songs that our fans really want to hear. And I'm really excited to take the same energy we put into all this exploration and all this, these other statements we wanted to make, we're putting in even more into this sort of focused show in a way, you know, that we've never, we probably haven't done since 1992, you know.
Is the show going to open with Shake Your Moneymaker, and are you going to play it in sequence?
Yeah, we play it in sequence. That's the first hour of the show.
Okay, and then you'll come back and do maybe another hour of other songs.
Yeah,
from
we're not even going to come back. We'll just roll right into, like, you know, other songs from other records and stuff, you know.
I'm a big By Your Side fan and a big and you got to get a Conspiracy in there. That's one of my all-time favorites too.
It's on the list. You know, we were laughing about the guys in the band, you know, in the mid 2000s or whatever, the Black Crowes we'd have 300 songs we could play at any night. You know what I mean? Whether it's, you know, a Manassas song or, you know, one of our songs or a deep B-side or unreleased tracks. But I think our working list right now is like 35 songs, you know? So it's like much more just boom, boom, boom. We want high energy. Like I said, loud guitars and, you know, we do what we do. You know, I think we're in a place to really celebrate the Black Crowes right now, Rich and I. You know, I feel that's what I feel the whole thing's about, you know.
It had to suck though to be so ramped up, so ready to go. I know you did a bunch of promo. You were on Howard Stern, you did a couple small club shows to warm up. Like, you guys were right on the launching pad before things got shut down. That had to just suck. You had to be like, man, this really isn't meant to happen for us.
I know. It's so funny because also I think Rich and I just chalk it up to the Black Crowes. You know what I mean? Like, in the summer of 92, we're like one of the biggest bands in the world. And we go play festivals in Europe. And like, we're on Saturday night. Well, Friday night was beautiful. Saturday was pissing rain. Like, everywhere we went, we were like, oh, we were like Linus or whatever. You know what I mean? I was like, oh my God. But you know what, man? Like I said, our team, you know what I mean? From Mark Dedea, you know, to CAA and Live Nation, we've never had such a strong backbone of people with vision and, you know, the kind of let's get it done mentality. And so, and like we were saying, it's been great to, for the first time ever, to try to deal with real life, not tour life, you know. But trust me, I'm ready for real life to be over, you know.
I think a lot of people are. Just a couple other quick things, man, and I'll let you go. So the plan is this tour, and then I know there's stuff in Europe where the Black Crowes have always been very popular. And is this going to run for like a couple years celebrating Shake Your Moneymaker? And, you know, is there a time frame that you want to maybe record some of these 20 songs that you have written? What's the projection?
I think we still like to play it kind of loose. So, you know, like I said, getting this year up and running. And then of course we have Japan and Australia, New Zealand, you know, eventually, hopefully South America can get it together because we have a lot of fans there. We were supposed to play. And then there's festival. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're definitely plugged in for the next couple of years, I think, but who knows, you know what I mean? If Rich and I feel like it, we'll be in the studio in January or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, we kind of, but it's definitely right now about focusing on the tour and seeing what, you know what I mean? And just getting out there and seeing what life's going to be like and But, you know, we're excited, man. People, you know, we're selling lots of tickets. People are excited. They want, you know, we're one of the really first rock and roll shows to go out in America. So I think people will just be really fired up, you know.
And how are you feeling? You know, I've always loved your voice. You're great on stage. You're always moving. You mentioned just a few minutes ago, I think you said you're 54, which certainly isn't old, but not young. But do you do anything to prepare for a tour, to keep your pipes in shape, to keep your wind in shape, because you're always moving? I mean, is there a process you go through?
No, I mean, not especially. I mean, I want to at least like try to walk 4 or 5 miles a day. But the singing is the singing. I've been doing it a long time. Again, you know what I mean? I'm not a pop singer. I'm a rock and roll singer. And, you know, I probably don't have the same high notes that I had, like, of course, when I was in my 20s. But where my voice is, I mean, I think it's stronger than it was before. I mean, obviously, I mean, I don't have the same chemical lifestyle I had in my youth. And, you know, trying to balance, like, you know, eternal search for bliss and and like the job at hand, you know. But yeah, that stuff's different. But it's also like kind of you get into tour shape a little bit, you know what I mean? We all feel good, you know what I mean? And everyone's so ready to go, and it's not the first time around, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like, you know what to expect. I mean, and all I'll really expect is to be sweating through my outfits because it's summertime and we're like rocking and rolling, and I'll be drenched in sweat every night.
You very casually mentioned a few minutes ago, yeah, I played with Jimmy Page, which has still got to be a surreal thing to have come out of your mouth. I still listen to Live at the Greek still all the time. I mean, it's amazing. When you look back on having done that, I imagine it still as a fan kind of feels surreal to you.
Yeah, definitely. It was funny because Rich was talking about it, you know. I'm so really proud of it. You know what I'm really proud of? Like a couple of years ago, I saw Robert, and I hadn't, you know, I knew Robert before Jimmy. I mean, when I was 23 years old, I had to open for Steven Tyler and Robert Plant back to back, you know. They don't really do front men anymore. You know, there's not too many of us in that old school mold. But I saw Robert, I went to see him at the Greek Theater in Los Angeles, and I hadn't seen him in many years. And he's so charming and so cool. And he gave me his blessing, and he said he thought I had done a great job on the vocals. And, you know, you're out in the world and there's a lot of Led Zeppelin fans, man. And usually they come up and say, really, no one's ever said, hey man, that 10 years gone was bullshit or whatever, you know, like, it's in our wheelhouse. You know, I think the thing about Jimmy, and one of the reasons that we hit it off so well musically and as friends, was, you know, we had a lot of great nights after the show, like in my suite or whatever. And back then we still had CDs, you know, and I would always travel with literally a couple hundred CDs in this heavy case that the bellman would always be like, oh no, I work at the hotel, not the Black Crowes guy with his 500 pound CD case. But like we would hang out and Jimmy would go through the CDs like, oh, you have this record. Oh my God, you have this record. And we would just listen to records and a lot of blues records, you know, and stuff, and R&B records and early rock and roll records. And, you know, again, I've all the people in my life that I'm friends with, no matter what kind of band they're in, and a lot of, or anyone, it's about records, man. It's about loving music. And it's about, you know, it's funny, like, growing up, we were into guitars and stuff. And a band like Depeche Mode. I didn't even like Depeche Mode. And now, like, when I hear Depeche Mode or my wife plays a Depeche Mode record, I'm like, oh my God, every song is genius. You know what I mean? And it also has something to do with just where we are. You know what I mean? There's not a lot of craft. There's not a lot of imagination and a lot, you know what I mean? And so anytime I hear a great song, it's just a great song. And it makes me so happy and inspires me every day. I hear something that inspires me.
Chris, I still have all my CDs and I love them, and people will take them from my cold dead hands because it's still my favorite format, and I still travel with them and I still play them and they still sound the best, and I love them. So yeah, I'm big time on the CD bandwagon. I still want CDs now, and thankfully they're still hanging in there, but I'm with you 100% on that. Two quick things, and I'll let you go. You have an opening band joining you for this run that you mentioned you mentioned Mark Dedea, who's an old friend of mine and is managing these guys as well as you. They are a fantastic young band on the road now. I get compliments about them every day. Dirty Honey, tell me about taking them out on the road and what you see in them as a young emerging rock band.
I see, one thing, they're very nice guys. I mean, I know Mark pretty much. I don't know the other guys that well. They're very clean to be named Dirty Honey. They smell good. great rock and roll band. Mark's got great vocals. And I think the one thing that I like about any band is their sincerity. You know what I mean? And like, you can play any kind of music as long as it's, to me, you know, there's obviously a difference between something that's, you know, obviously something contrived and something that's like really sincere. The sincerity shows the depth. They want to work hard. They work really hard. They love rock and roll. I couldn't be happier to have a band like that out with us at this time and what we're doing. Kudos to them, man. They're doing great. But, you know, yeah. It's the same thing. There's no music business, but you go to Amoeba Records and there's a line out the door. You know what I mean? Like, there's no music. There's no rock and roll, but we're selling tens of thousands of tickets. Rock bands are selling tens of thousands of tickets. They, you know, all these bands. So it's funny that there's no rock and roll. Dirty Honey's doing great. They're a fucking rock and roll band. Yeah. So it's there. You know what I mean? It's just like, I think it kind of makes it cool again as well, that it's not the main thing, you know what I mean? And maybe it keeps some of the pretenders at the gate, you know? Yeah. But there's so much cool stuff. I'm just super happy for them and happy that they're on tour with us.
Last thing, I couldn't let you go without asking you, bringing this up. You and I had a dear mutual friend that passed away a couple years ago, Neil Casal. And I know he played in your band and, you know, we lost Neil, I guess it's been a couple years now, but
2 years in August. Yeah.
When I think of you, I'm sure you remember this, but a few years ago, you and I met in the lobby at Sirius XM because I was talking to Neil and we were catching up and you were there because you were going to be playing. And I remember that you walked over to Neil and I talking and you looked at Neil and you go, "So you weren't bullshitting me," or something like that, because and you had walked away. And I said to Neil, I go, "What was that about?" And he said something about you guys were on the bus and you used to watch my old TV show or something. And Neil had said that he grew up with me or whatever. And it was just a really funny moment.
You must be the only other person who remembers Neil's favorite Jersey hard rock band, SS Steel.
Well, before that, he was in a band called Exire, E-X-I-R-E. I have the cassette. That's when I first met him. But yeah, talk a little bit about Neil, if you will, for a second. I know you guys were close and I know that he was a big part of your band and it just sucks that we lost him.
Yeah. I mean, we lose so many people, but it's usually when you're younger, you know, whether it's drugs or an accident or, you know, people taking their own lives. So, you know, you feel sometimes that, you know, now you get older, you lose people to sickness and things, you know. So, but for this to happen, which it's still just a kick in the guts, you know. Yeah. Like, I thought I'd been through some stuff, and we all have. We've all been through loss, and we all understand this kind of pain. And but for it to really, you know, the CRB especially started off as something so genuine and, you know, like beautiful. I mean, I know a lot of, it has nothing to do with my Black Crowes life, or I didn't sing the same. I play guitar. We wrote all songs. We were a psychedelic hippie band, you know, a roots oriented psychedelic hippie group, and unashamedly so. And Neil was just unimaginably talented guitarist. I mean, besides the only other person that could ever get close to like his harmony singing with me, it was so special. Every night, every single night, I pushed Neil really hard as a guitarist to kind of break out of the mold of where he was into something very different, more expansive, somebody more available to improvisation. And he took to that like a duck to water. And And just overall, I never ever heard anyone have anything negative to say about Neil, you know? Yeah. And that's really, that's unbelievable in this business. And, you know, it's funny, I had a dream about him a couple months ago, and I don't dream like that, but it was so, and my wife wrote it down and put it on the refrigerator, and Neil, he came to me and he goes, I just want everyone to know I'm really happy now. I feel really good. And I don't want anyone to be mad at me. And I was like, and I woke up, I was like, wow, that was really heavy, man. That was really, really weird. But it made me feel good, you know? And, you know, Neil was like, Neil saw the Black Crowes homecoming show from those live recordings from the box set. He was at that show in Atlanta. He saw us play in Livonia, Michigan, like on our first tour opening for Junkyard. And, you know, so he was in, you know, he was a Stones guy and a Ronnie Wood guy, a Faces guy, a Humble Pie guy. He loved Free and Paul Kossoff and all this stuff that we, you know, Neil and I would be on the bus late listening to that and the first couple of Aerosmith records, and the other guys would be like, you know, if it's not the Grateful Dead, they're going to bed, you know. So Neil was a real rock and roller at heart, a great, great musician, and just he's always missed, man.
Yeah, he is. That's why I wanted to mention him, because I remember that story and laugh about it all the time, because you had walked away and I said to Neil, I go, what was that about? And he goes, oh, he goes, we were just always talking about metal and how I knew you and your show and this and that. And he's like, because you just walked up and you're like, so it is true. And then he kind of walked away.
Totally. I remember.
Anyway, man, thank you for some time here today, Chris. It's great to talk to you. I hope you come back. And I'm so psyched to see some of these shows. July 20th, kicking off in Nashville. The dates run through the end of September. Just go to the Black Crowes website. You'll see them all there, all the ticket information. Shake Your Money Maker to start in its entirety, and then about an hour of other great Black Crowes classics. Great to talk to you, man. Best to you and your family, and see you on the road soon.
It's only rock and roll, but we like it. You know what I mean? Thanks, Eddie. I appreciate it.
Thanks to Chris Robinson. Looking forward to that tour. It was great to talk to him. Hopefully we'll do it again soon. Up next, Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top.
Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Just in and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
Tillamook Chocolate Collection ice cream is a total chocolate game changer. We start with unbelievably creamy dark chocolate ice cream. Then we add different chocolate treats, like chocolate cookies, chocolate cake, or chocolate brownies, to make four decadent chocolate flavors. Because sometimes the thing that pairs best with chocolate is more chocolate. Tillamook Chocolate Collection ice cream. Extraordinary dairy.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Two interviews for you this week. It's a special expanded deluxe podcast this week. Right now, Billy Gibbons, a frequent guest on my show. He's got a new solo album out. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more. Here is the legendary voice and guitarist of ZZ Top on the Eddie Trunk Podcast. It's always an honor to visit with this guy. You know him, of course, best as the singer and guitarist from the legendary ZZ Top. He also is here to talk about a brand new solo album called Hardware. It is the one and only Mr. Billy F. Gibbons. Billy, good to see you, man.
Same here on this side. Always good to reconnect. And you're right. We're chasing fast and furiously on the release of this new Hardware has got us quite excited, man.
Yeah, well, I want to talk about this and a few things with you, but you know, just before we got on the air, I was telling my audience that I'm buying a place in Vegas next week, and that I was telling them how many rock people have relocated there and live there. And we were talking off the air. You actually have a home there as well. And it's a bit historic in some ways. Can you share that with? I don't want you to tell the audience where you live. You don't need to give your address, but the house has got some pretty cool history, right?
Well, yeah. As a matter of fact, they'd be hard pressed to find anything at the moment. It's 120 degrees today, record-breaking heat. So I doubt if anybody'd be kicking up their heels and tiptoeing down the avenues, but. As we were fortunate enough to mention, the curtain seems to be rising across the country, and we are absolutely delighted. It looks like that we'll be hitting the road soon to make lots of loud noise.
So have you hit the road yet? Have you played some shows yet with the band? Has there been anything yet, or are you just ramping up to that?
Oh, actually, I flew to Nashville, Tennessee to play the Grand Ole Opry a couple of weeks ago. And what a delight getting out and actually bringing the guitar in front of some folks. It was back to square one. We still enjoy getting to do what we get to do. And that was quite a bonus.
As a guy that has spent more than 50 years on the road and touring, both with ZZ Top and, of course, other things as well, what was the lockdown like for someone like you? Was it a bit of a reset and a recharge? Did you enjoy aspects of being stationary for a while, or did you just want to get back out there as soon as possible?
Well, it was a balanced or attempt to be balanced between both sides of it. On one hand, it's the first time in over five decades when I was able to spend more than 3 days in one spot.
Oh my
and then
gosh.
You look at it and say, well, there was no choice. You had to stay in the same spot. It's funny you should bring that up. I've got this new trio with Matt Sorum and Austin Hanks. And of course, I'll be going back in, to meet Frank and Dusty. Someone said, gee whiz, he said, you know, you stay with this skinny lineup, a trio over here and a trio over there, particularly when it comes to ZZ Top. How did three guys manage to stay together for five decades uninterrupted? And as you and I spoke about the joys of home ownership, someone said, well, where actually do you live? We know Los Angeles, Texas, Las Vegas. Now it's back to living on a rolling house called a tour bus. It just keeps changing towns.
You know, what do you attribute the fact to that you're the only band I can think of, maybe ZZ Top, and I think you two come to mind, that has never changed lineups? There's bands that still have the original lineup, but it's very rare to say the entire history, and you guys, like you said, over 50 years, the same three guys. It's truly remarkable. Do you have anything you can attribute that to? That's rarefied air.
Separate buses.
Three guys, three buses, right?
Yeah.
Well, if that's all it takes, there's got to be more than that, because if that's all it takes, every other band would be doing it. Every other band would have separate buses.
Oh, yeah.
So tell me about the Hardware record, Billy. How did this come together? You mentioned Matt Sorum. I know he's a big part of it as well. Former Guns N' Roses drummer. You have history with him. Tell me about this record and putting it together.
Well, Matt, both Matt and Austin Hanks, unexpectedly rang me up and announced that they were coming to scoop me up and drag me out to a recording studio, what they said was in Joshua Tree. And I inadvertently referred to the one and only studio that I knew about called, it was David Ketching's place called Rancho de la Luna, where I had worked recently with Josh and Queens of the Stone Age. And both Matt and Austin said, oh, you're close, you're getting close. It's across the street. And I thought, gee, I don't know of another studio. What they didn't tell me was when they said across the street, it was across the street and 20 miles. Literally out in the middle of the desert. But, you know, the interesting aspect is when you're surrounded with nothing, the good news is that the way out of it is to start doing something. And I guess to answer your question, that's really how the record started.
So did you do it during the pandemic? Was this a product of the lockdown and you having the time?
Yeah, they called back in June and we arrived thinking that we were just going to spend, I don't know, maybe 30 minutes having a look at this studio. But, you know, checking out a room with four walls and no windows doesn't take much time. But those 30 minutes turned into 30 days, which turned into month after month. We walked in and never left. It was pretty enticing.
So as far as writing the material, did you do it all on the spot at the studio or did you go in with stuff?
We showed up with blank paper and a pencil.
Wow. Yeah. And you just worked on the fly. You started jamming and you saw what came out.
Yeah. But you bring up an interesting, kind of a starting point for us was using that mysterious energy that you find out there in the desert. I mean, Joshua Tree, let's face it, it's a very famous spot. You can read about it. You can even see photographs of it. But I think words defy the experience. Once you step inside the confines of that part of the world, there is a unusual energy that can't be denied. It's really, we used it as to our advantage as a kind of a bolster for the creative process. We found it to be kind of a cool spot. Well, not cool at 120 degrees.
So how does making a record for you, talk about the differences in making a record for you like this on your own with these guys versus going in and making a record with ZZ Top when you do that. Does ZZ Top operate in a similar way where when you've gone in and made records, you just kind of jam and see where it goes? Or is it usually everybody bringing in material there?
Yeah, I think the distinguishing difference would be a ZZ Top outing brings along a sense of comfortable familiarity. We go in with a pretty good background of things that have made sense in the past. What I did like was balancing the challenge of tiptoeing into uncharted waters with Austin and Matt. Austin and I, we made the assignment to that famous backbeat, you know, Matt Sorum is a powerhouse to begin with. So I said, Austin, what do you think? He said, yeah, give it to Matt. Let him start the backbeat.
How did you first get to know Sorum? You do some Kings of Chaos stuff, right, with him?
Yes, indeed. I've known Matt, seemingly forever, as a follower of what he did way back with The Cult, Guns N' Roses, and of course, can't leave out Velvet Revolver, another great aggregation. And then Matt organized this kind of jam band group, which he tagged Kings of Chaos, which it really is. And if we find time to get off the road, if there's an opportunity to join in that festivity, we'll hit the deck rather stridently. But Matt, you know, he's a great leader, and I really like what he likes to drive that Cadillac.
Yeah, he's done some stuff people may not realize too. Like he actually played in Motorhead for a short period of time. I saw him do that.
Oh man, I've only heard about it, and I've heard it firsthand from Matt. And man, when he starts talking about his days with Motorhead, he tightens up. He says, "Oh my God, do you have to remind me?" So that was it was really wild.
Yeah, he said it was a grueling gig. And, you know, he had a cool band recently that Geezer Butler was in and Steve Stevens, Deadland Ritual. But I think that's done, unfortunately. I don't think that one lasted. I had them all on to promote it, but I think it's kind of, you know, didn't get off the mat like they hoped.
Yeah, I never got to see Matt playing with Motorhead. I did see Deadland Ritual. We were both sharing a bill overseas. I think it was one of the big festivals in Europe. Which was also a great outing. You bring up another great player, Steve Stevens.
Yeah.
He too joins us with Kings of Chaos on occasion. It's you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's a cool thing. Going back to the Hardware record, on the back of the CD, as I'm looking at it here, you dedicate the record to the memory of the late legendary producer, Joe Hardy. Can you talk a little bit about that decision and the impact Joe had on you as a musician?
Oh, yeah. Joe and I became fast and furious friends from our days in Memphis, Tennessee. Joe was serving as one of the chief engineers at Ardent Recording Studios. And I'll tell you how we go back all the way to the release of Tres Hombres, which was the first excursion into that interesting musical town of Memphis, Tennessee. But Joe and I worked on projects that would probably have been still sitting on the shelf had it not been for his expertise as an engineer. He was such a forward thinker. Before you could even finish a sentence, he said, "Yeah, I know where you're going. We've done that. What's next?" Wow. Great guy.
Wow. Yeah. You've dedicated this record to him. So tell me the plan now. You're going to do shows in support of Hardware. You're going to go out and do shows live with this band. Is that the plan?
Any port in the storm.
You're ready to go.
Yeah, we're standing in line with everybody else. We've been around, the same four walls for, I guess you'd call it, enough time. Let's get out there.
Well, there's stuff happening now. I mean, there's a ton of shows and tours being announced every day. Do you have concrete stuff lined up to play live with this band for this year?
Yeah, I've heard the good word is finding out how to wedge in Billy F. Gibbons and the BFGs along with ZZ Top. The good news is as long as I'm in there somewhere, I like spanking the plank, as you know.
As long as you're invited to the party, getting to play. And what's the latest on the ZZ Top front? You guys have shows lined up? Have you had some discussion about a record? Where are things at there?
Yes. In fact, I'll be meeting both Dusty and, of course, Frank, the man with no beard, we'll be dusting off we'll be preparing a new road show. I believe that it may be as early as before summer's over, we're going to be hitting the touring trail.
Okay, so some ZZ Top shows soon, sounds like. Some stuff
coming up right around the corner, sure enough. Yep.
And Billy, you know, it's remarkable. You talk about ZZ Top having done this for all these decades, for more than 50 years, the same three guys. I can tell in just talking to you now, it's still something, getting out and playing is still something that is such a passion for you. I think a lot of people would think 50 plus years on the road and doing it. You hear from a lot of guys, "I'm over it. I can't do it anymore. I don't feel like doing it. It's too much. I don't like the road." You seem to have the same vigor for it as you've always had. It's really still very much something you love, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And as you point out, the mysteries of what descended to the unsuspecting planet has really stirred up the interest to get back and being able to kick your heels up. It's all about having a good time. And that's what our aim has not changed. It's still there.
And one final question for you. Last time I think you were on my show, it was to promote the ZZ Top documentary, which had just come out at the time. We did that show at the Rainbow. In retrospect, now that that doc has been out there, what is the response you've heard about it from fans, and how do you feel about it now that a couple years has passed since it came out?
Well, the skeleton's out of the closet. All of our secrets are on the street now. there's one interesting aside. What we were just informed. When we found ourselves revisiting one of the old honky tonks where ZZ Top got their start, we set up thinking that we were just going to film 30, 60 seconds of a couple of songs from the early days. We wound up playing for about 2 hours. And the good news is the engineer had the tape machine running. And they are actually preparing to release a series of those recordings as a companion to that documentary series. So get ready. You'll hear ZZ Top playing it as we started out 5 decades in the past. It'll be something.
Wow, that is amazing. And it just came to me now thinking about the documentary. There's that great moment in it about the fan, the guy who first came, the only one guy, and he's standing like, don't leave, and he still comes to see you to this day.
Yeah, we still don't know his name. We just know him as the guy. The guy is here.
For people that don't know, if you never saw the ZZ Top documentary, I think you can see it now. It's on Netflix or Amazon or one of those things, but it's fantastic. And there's a story there where one of the first times they played, there was only one person. And I believe you say in the doc, he felt so awkward being the only person there that he was going to leave when you started playing. And he said, no, stay. And he still comes to the shows to this day.
Yeah, we went ahead and delivered the first set. We took a break. We went out, bought him a Coca-Cola. Came back and finished the show, and he was happy and we were happy. To this day, we look forward to seeing the guy.
And one last thing just hit me. You know, you, of course, a legendary guitar player, have influenced so many. We lost a guy recently who's done the same thing, certainly in the hard rock world, and that was Eddie Van Halen. And I'm curious, did you have any relationship with Eddie? Did you know him at all? Did you have any experiences with him? And what were your thoughts when you first heard him play?
Oh, my goodness. Knew him well from the very first record. And he was actually, as it came to pass, I discovered that he was a neighbor very close to the house back in Los Angeles. And I first heard word, hey man, there's a guy that plays some interesting guitar riffs, maybe you should get together, only to discover that sitting in the record bin was the first Van Halen record. They had already picked up steam, and fortunately I was able to go out and catch a live show, and that blew my mind. I said, oh my gosh, these guys have got it going on. I miss him dearly.
Yeah, I was curious because obviously his guitar style is so very different than yours, but I imagine for you it must have been like, you know, what is this guy doing? Like, you know, what we've heard that from a lot of people, but for it was just, you know, just took the world by storm, and I would imagine that you probably were trying to process exactly what was going on when you first heard that, right?
Yeah, you're right. We play in different styles. He and I used to get together because we both discovered we had a passion for Mexican food. And after his passing, there's not a day that goes by when I can dip into a bowl of hot sauce. And it's kind of like a revisit of fond recollections of being able to hang out together. It's something else.
Yeah. Well, Billy, thank you so much for the time, man. It's always great to visit with you. Again, everybody check out the new record, Billy F. Gibbons Hardware. It is out now. It sounds great. Just great bluesy rock music as you've brought it to us for decades and continue to do. And we look forward to some ZZ Top activity and hopefully with one of these bands seeing you out there on the road soon doing working your magic on the guitar. We look forward to that.
Well, thank you for that. Always good to talk to you. And I'll take your directive. Well, wherever we may be, it's going to be turned up loud.
Well, that's how we like it. And that's what we expect. So thank you so much, Billy. Best of luck with the record and say hello to Matt for me. And hopefully we will see you somewhere on the road soon as things continue to open. It's a great time. Like you said, it's the de-thaw, if you will, and people are getting ready to get out there and enjoy it. So we'll look forward to seeing you out there.
Cheers, man. See you around the corner.
That new Billy Gibbons album is a really good sounding record, as are most of the Black Crowes records, too. We heard from Chris Robinson earlier, of course, in the podcast, and I can't wait for that tour. And Billy Gibbons, since that interview was done, has announced an expansive tour with ZZ Top. Kind of teased it a little bit in the interview, but it is now fully announced. A ton of dates for ZZ Top announced just after we did that interview, as a matter of fact. So thanks to Chris Robinson. Thanks to Billy Gibbons. Thank you for listening to the Eddie Trunk podcast. Thanks to Joel Pollack for putting it all together. And I will see you guys again next Thursday for another all-new episode. Next week, going to be a good one, too. Jack Douglas, the legendary record producer from John Lennon to Aerosmith. His story, we got a tremendous amount of great response when that interview originally aired on SiriusXM about a week or so ago. We'll get it to you next week on the podcast. Again, please listen to me every day on Volume, Channel 106, live 2 to 4 Eastern, nightly re-airs 10 to midnight Eastern, or on the app anytime you want to the Daily Show Trunk Nation here or there on SiriusXM. That's where these interviews you hear originated live. And be sure to follow on social media at Eddie Trunk, Twitter, Instagram, and a fan page on Facebook. And of course, eddietrunk.com is the website. Catch you guys next Thursday, or hopefully before that, live on the radio. Take care.
Justin, and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.